Gospel according to Luke chapter 6. Jesus said to his disciples, "In you who hear, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks. From the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies, do good to them, lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. 12 years ago, on the day after 9/11, in 2001, my younger brother Bill sent me this bumper sticker. Whatever Jesus meant when he said, "Love your enemies," it could not have been, "Kill them." On that 12th of September, this was not the sentiment of the whole country. The response of nearly everyone was that of revenge, of getting back, of retaliation, of vengeance. After the immediate shock and sadness, the dominant emotion was definitely anger. For sure, it was a justified anger, a righteous anger. This horrible, unspeakable injustice had been committed against us, and we had to make it right. It was pervasive. Few of us did not experience at least some aspect of the anger. For some, it grew into a lust for revenge. At an ecumenical service that I attended on that September 12th, the Christian preacher had the nerve to quote this passage from Luke, the passage from today's Eucharist. "To you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. From the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." The preacher that day focused on that last line, the golden rule. As you would want others to act toward you, so do you act toward them. Now, this can be understood from a perspective of psychology, a person empathizing with others. From philosophy, it involves a person perceiving the other as also an I or a self. Sociologically, the golden rule is applicable between individuals, between groups, and also between the individual and the group. Theologically, it's found in every single major religion. Many Christians believe that it originated with Jesus. It is significant that in Christianity, the words of the Golden Rule are those of Jesus himself, and that they come immediately after the proclamation of the great Beatitudes, both in Matthew and here in Luke. Today's Gospel is Christ's response to the horror of 9/11. Today's Gospel is Christ's response to some of the violence, the war, and preparation for war that we are experiencing here in 2013. I dare to put in your face once again this response of Christ, and I ask you to look at it. I think the whole quote appeared in that beautiful prayer service a few days after 9/11 in the National Cathedral. Perhaps it was even Jimmy Carter who proclaimed it. That whole prayer service had such an uplifting and hopeful event. Almost every speaker hinted at the possibility that a deeper analysis and reflection could happen, and it was necessary. That the whole world was grieving with and praying for the people of the United States. And that kind of universal respect and love from friend and enemy alike, that it might somehow transcend the practical particulars of solving problems and create something new, something spiritual, something of God. There was a great hope among many of us that the knee-jerk response of military vengeance and retaliation was not inevitable. Well, as you know, such hope was short-lived. Words were hardly dry on the newsprint when the rumor of war and preparations of war had begun in earnest. The words of Jesus here in the Gospel of Luke are so powerful, yet so idealistic. They must have seemed that way to Jesus as well. But not once did that judgment cause him to hold back in his preaching this good news. It includes the best of Jesus' dream. Listen again. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Offer your other cheek as well. Give to whomever asks, tunic and cloak. Lend, expecting nothing back. Don't judge. Don't condemn. Don't withhold forgiveness. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So, my friends, in the concrete, what do we do? What can we do? When it comes to political negotiations, all of the above seems to be taken off the table. At those closed doors, those behind doors negotiations that take place, it seems only the bottom line is deterrent. What we used to call mutually assured damage, mutually assured destruction, MAD. That's what is discussed, the violent military threat that will cause the other to back down. What indeed can be done? There is something that is assuredly not of God here, which deserves to be named of the evil one. In his own praying for and analyzing the situation in Syria that just last week, Pope Francis was able to name the violence and the militarism and the war and preparations for war as a demon that only prayer and fasting can drive out. And so he entered into that powerful, traditional, contemplative practice of prayer and fasting, and he invited the whole church to join him, and we did. If a non-violent solution to the present crisis is forthcoming, maybe we ought not to exclude our part. Maybe even some love of enemy had entered into that prayer and fasting that we did. Maybe we should look at this even as a regular part of our entering the global political reality. Prayer and fasting. Maybe.